I hope that I would finish this line of thought I've been on for several Sundays last Sunday, but I didn't. So I'll read the text one more time. Ezekiel 41:7. And there was an enlarging and a winding about still upward to the side chambers. For the winding about of the house went still upward round about the house. Therefore the breadth of the house was still upward, and so increased from the lowest chamber to the highest by the midst. And I think, if I remember correctly, that I closed out last Sunday with talking on the text from second chapter of Isaiah in the second verses 2-4. I wanted to say a little bit more about these verses, and I'll read them again. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. Now this is high elevations he's talking about here. And the mountain of the Lord's house being established in the top of the mountains, it'll be the highest one.
Yes.
That's Mount Zion. That's the highest one there is. And I was thinking this morning, I wonder if you have ever heard, well, I'm sure you have, it's a common saying, there's always room at the top. Plenty of room at the top. And if down here where you're living, the competition seems to be pretty keen, and trials and tests seem pretty thick, and people seem to get in your way, set out for the top. There's plenty of room up there. You know, I wonder if you remember the passage in the 66th Psalm where the word of the Lord says that Thou, O Lord, hast tried us, hast proved us as silver is proved. Thou hast laid the afflictions upon our loins. Thou didst bring us into the net. Thou caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but you brought us out into a wealthy place. Now the margin says a large place. Plenty of room at the top. Just keep climbing and you'll get out in a large place after a while, where there's plenty of room and not so many people in your way. They tell us that there are only a small percentage of the people in this country that are leaders. The big percentage are followers. And the top-notch executives are men that have just climbed through all of the competition and everything down here and have gotten to the top. And they find plenty of room up there. There's not so much competition up there. There's plenty of room there when you get to be a top-notch executive in the business world. And there's plenty of room for you to spread your wings when you get to the top of Mount Zion. So let us not think about lingering in these low veils down here and maintaining our low views of Christianity and of the power of God and what God can do in the life and in the heart and for the people and His ability to give us victories and rise above those things that we're inclined to count normal and just kind of settle down in the doldrums and this is the way I am, this is the way I'm always been, this is the way I'm going to be. Let's get a broader view of God's power to change men's lives and change our lives and make us different to what we've always been and give us a brighter outlook on life. Now he said this was going to be in the tops of the mountains, way above everything else. There are many mountains, there are many hills, there are many churches, so-called, big and little, in this world today, but Mount Zion is above all of them, established in the top of the mountains, exalted above the hills. And all nations shall flow unto it. I made some remarks 2 weeks ago today. Last Sunday was Mother's Day, and we had a different kind of a service. But I made some remarks 2 weeks ago today about flowing unto a high elevation. Well, we know that isn't the way that natural things are, and water doesn't flow uphill. It has to be pumped if it's going up there. But here's something flowing uphill, just flowing to the highest elevation there is. And that's the drawing power of God and the work of Jesus Christ in the lives of the people that's just propelling them and impelling them right along. Paul says the love of Christ constraineth us or impels us to certain things and just drawing and pulling and causing us to flow right on up onto Mount Zion, the highest elevations that there are. And he said, many people shall go and come and say, come ye and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. Now the house of God is declared by the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy 3:15, I believe, to be the church of the living God, pillar and ground of the truth. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Zion and Jerusalem are metaphors for the church of God. And it's out of the church of God that the real truth flows. God has made the body of Christ, the functioning, operating body of Christ through which he carries on all of his work in the world today, he has made it the depository of the truth. And the truth flows out from the church of God.
Yes, amen.
And from Mount Zion. I'd like to observe this as we pass this point, that up on the summit of Mount Zion, God is teaching people many things He wasn't able to teach them before. And as you climb to higher elevations, He'll teach you greater truths and deeper truths and more abundant things about God and about you. We need to know about you too and about me. And God will teach us about ourselves and about Him and those things that pertain to our relationship with Him and what our relationship with Him is as we climb higher. Things that we would not be able to comprehend down in the lower levels. And we had in our Sunday school lesson this morning about things that Jesus was teaching His apostles all along through His association with them, but it went clear over their heads. They weren't able to comprehend it, and they didn't even remember what He said till He had risen from the dead, and they'd had some contacts with Him after that, and then said they remembered what the Lord had said, that He was going to die and be resurrected, and so on. Well, experience taught them some things. Experience will teach you and me some things. And as we pass through greater experiences with the Lord, we'll learn greater things concerning Him. And He shall judge among the nations and rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears and pruning hooks. They won't need them on Mount Zion. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Well, some people's got this way on over there in another age of time, and Jesus Christ is going to come and set up His universal reign of peace and righteousness here on the earth, and He's going to rule over all of the kingdoms, and there's going to be peace. Well, I say in the Church of God, there's peace now.
Amen.
And people who are saved and sanctified and are partakers of the grace of God in their lives, they're just following after peace and things wherewith one may edify another. And they're seeking peace, they're ensuing peace according to God's word, and the works of righteousness shall be peace, the effects of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. And it's not way on over there in another age, it's in this age, it's in this present time, this experience, that we lay down our arms and quit the fight, and we find peace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Nations aren't lifting up swords against nations in the Church of God. The world is. That's the way the world operates. They operate on a military basis. And there's a big arms race on in the world now to see who can outdo the others, just kind of like schoolboys playing games. But it isn't all that much games. It's just in reality, and somebody's going to pop off some of these days, and then there'll be a big conflagration in this world. But in the Church of God, it doesn't make any difference. Of every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, they're following peace. Yes. God's Word said, let us therefore follow after the things that make for peace.
Yes.
And things wherewith one may edify another. And folks, let me tell you, as you climb higher and get up above all of the confusing elements of this world and the clash that's going on here, and the competition that's going on here, and the strife that's going on here, and all of that, and you just climb on up to higher elevations, you will find a realm of peace, greater peace. And I say, if you haven't found that peace, climb higher. It's up there. It's in the mountain of the Lord's house. That's where He said it was. Where nation would not lift up sword against nation, neither would they learn war anymore. In the 21st chapter of Revelation, verses 9 and 10, He said, there came unto me one of the angels having the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and he talked with me, saying, come hither, and I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and there I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. And he goes ahead and describes the grandeur and the glory of that city and of its precious stones and its foundations of gorgeous and valuable and precious stones, and the walls the same, and describes in the first verses of that chapter about the great things of the New Jerusalem, and there'd be no more pain there, and there'd be no more death there, and they'd wipe away all tears from their eyes, and all those kind of things in the New Jerusalem. Well, people say, we're not there yet, because I cry and I shed tears and so on. Well, that isn't what He's talking about. He's talking spiritually here and about the spiritual anguish of the soul and a deep conviction of sin, and about the yearnings of the heart of people that are saved but are out there in Babylonish sectism all in their yearning for a fellowship that they don't get there, and they're starving for food for their soul that they don't get there, and for a fellowship that they're not receiving. And all but he said that the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. It's when people who are stricken with deep conviction and anguish of soul repent of their sins and have their sins forgiven, and God speaks peace to their hearts, that's when the tears are wiped away from their eyes. The weeping and mourning and remorse over their sins. And it's when a child of God away from home, lamenting and mourning and weeping over the conditions that he's in, and he makes his escape from there and comes home to Zion and comes right into the fellowship of the Spirit with the saints, and where his soul can be fed on God's Word, and all that's when his tears are wiped away. This new experience and this abounding grace is up there in the high elevations. Too many living on a low plane today and got low views, willing to settle for the low plane they're living on. Just accept the idea, well, this is just life. This is just a part of it, and I can't do anything about it. I say you can do something about it. Yeah. You can climb up out of that by the grace of God and get on a higher plane and higher elevation, and the truth will be revealed to your soul. This man had to be carried away in the Spirit to an exceeding great and high mountain, a high elevation, way up above the mists of confusion and the fogs of men's theories and ideas and opinions and the strife and clash of this world and of the natural man, just carried clear up above it, on high to Mount Zion, the summit of Mount Zion, where the air is pure ethereal and where the roses bloom eternal and where the sunlight of God's love is continually shining through in the heart, and from there you get a good vision. Yeah. Folks, vision's what we need. People have never gone very far without a vision. The people that have accomplished great things in this world have been men of vision. Men who set goals and strove for them and laid aside other things out of their lives to keep pressing on to their goal. And they accomplished it. And for you and me to reach our goal, we're going to have to lay aside some things out of our lives. Some things that are dear to us. Some things that are valuable to us. Paul said, those things that were gained to me, I counted loss for Christ. But he gained these goals. And he realized his vision. He moved right on into what his soul envisioned. And it came to pass with him. For you to get a good, clear, clean-cut vision of the church of God, of the body of Christ, its spiritual functions and operations, you've got to be carried away in the Spirit to get that. And the higher you're carried in the Spirit, the more you live in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit, are led by the Spirit, taught by the Spirit, have revelations of truth by the Spirit, the more you're going to be able to discern the real true body of Christ and the functions of the church of God in this world and in you. High elevations. Paul says, ye are come unto Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, to heavenly Jerusalem. And to the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. They're all one and the same thing. It's all associated together, and ye have come to it. Mount Zion, high elevation. Folks, if you want to see heavenly visions, get as near heaven as you can. If you want to be raised up, Ephesians 2 and 6 says he has raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. If you want to sit in a heavenly place and have heavenly truths revealed to your soul and sit together and enjoy heavenly fellowship, you've got to get just as close to heaven as you can. Amen. And yield yourself to the Spirit to waft you up and carry you away to an exceeding great and high mountain, the mountain of the Lord's house, Mount Zion. In the 48th Psalm, in the second verse, the psalmist said, beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. Is Mount Zion beautiful to you today? Are you lost in its beauties? The song says, I am lost in its splendor and beauty. To its ne'er fading heights I would rise, till I see the King come to receive me and explore it with him in the skies. Are you lost in its splendor and beauty? Do you have a good, clear, clean-cut vision of the church of God, the body of Christ, and what it actually is and how it operates? I say if you overlook the spiritual element involved, you miss the whole thing. It's a spiritual institution operated by the Spirit upon people in the Spirit, living in the Spirit, worshiping God in spirit and in truth. In the 5th chapter of Matthew and verse 14, Jesus said, "Ye are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid." The light of the world sitting out there on the hill. Folks, we need to rise to higher elevations up above the fog to where our light can be seen. And it cannot be hid. And that it can be clearly manifest that God is in our midst. He said in His Word that out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God has shined. Now they have lighthouses along the coast. They're to guide the ships and to bring them in to the harbor. But there's a tower up there and the light's way up in the top of the tower, where it'll be, where it can be seen above the fog. And that guides the ships into the port. God wants some people way up there above all the fogs and mists of men's theories and ideas and opinions and doctrines and creeds and denominations and all the strife and clash and confusion of this world and of natural men. He wants people up there high above all of that that cannot be hid. A city set on a hill that cannot be hid. In the 60th chapter of Isaiah, in the first verse, it says, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come." Did you notice the order of that language? Arise, shine. He didn't say shine and arise. Folks, we've got to arise before we can shine. We've got to be elevated up out of the beggarly elements of the self-life and the flesh life and the worldly life and all of that in which most people are groveling, and we're groveling too much, some of us, but we need to get elevated up out of all of that where we can shine. Paul said that he purposed that God would be magnified in his body, whether by life or by death. We've got a doctrine in the world now that it's people are holy in heart, but their body sins. You ever heard that doctrine? Well, I've heard that quite a bit. We can be holy in heart, but our body will sin. Paul said he was resolved that God would be glorified in his body, whether by life or by death, in his body. The way we live, the things we do, the way we deal with our fellow men, our integrity, our honesty, our sincerity, everything that God will be magnified in our body, in our lives, whether by life or by death. God wants to elevate you and me up there, get us up in the higher elevations above these things, living in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, worshiping God in the Spirit, where we can shine for Him. A city that is set on a hill, Jesus never would have said that ye are the light of the world if He hadn't have immediately followed the city set on a hill that cannot be hid. Exalted above the hills, high elevations. Let us envision high elevations. Let us set out for them. Let us do some mountain climbing. Let us lay aside those weights that does so easily beset us and run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Up, up, up. To upgrade all the way. But as we move up to higher elevations, our vision becomes more clear. Greater revelations of truth are revealed. It took the Spirit to reveal the true church of God. Amen. To the John the Revelator. He carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me this. It took the same Spirit to reveal the false religious institutions to him. He said in the 17th chapter of Revelation, he said, he carried me away in the Spirit into the wilderness. There I saw this woman riding on a scarlet-colored beast, and the truth of the false institutions and movements of this world and the corruption that exists in them was revealed to him. It takes the same Spirit to reveal error to you that it takes to reveal truth to you. And as we walk in the Spirit and are lifted up out of our doldrums by the Spirit into higher elevations, more and more truth can be revealed to our souls. Isaiah had a vision of God in the 6th chapter of Isaiah and said he was high, lifted up, sitting on a throne, and the cherubims flying in the midst of heaven saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, the whole earth is filled with His glory." Can you see it that way? You can from the summit of Mount Zion, from the mountaintop. Get on up there and you can see it that way. See the whole earth filled with His glory. Get out in the sunlight of God's love and let His love continually brighten and lighten our hearts. Amen.